Welcome to The Uncensored Pharmacist, where we're rewriting the prescription for health, one candid conversation at a time.
Join us as we delve into the holistic world of well-being, covering everything from the latest pharmacy insights to navigating health regulations and championing patient advocacy.
From in-depth discussions with experts to tips on navigating the pharmacy aisle, we're here to enlighten, educate, and engage.
So make sure to amplify your health journey by subscribing for weekly holistic health insights. Tune in, turn up the volume, and let's get started.
I'm Miranda.
And I'm Rachel. And we're the Uncensored Pharmacist. Welcome back, everybody. You are on episode 5. And today we're going to be talking about, I think it's a drug class that's very popular and kind of a hot topic for people. And so it's protein pump inhibitors. So
proton.
It's
like proton pump proton. Inhibitors.
What did I say? Protein. Oh my God. I'm hungry, girl. No. Proton pump inhibitors. So it's like Protonix, Prevacid, Nexium, Prilosec.
Yeah.
If those ring a bell and maybe you're on one of those, or you've been on one of those in the past, or maybe your doctor's trying to get you to take that. We're going to share some information, some education for you on this class of medication. So let's see, what are they? They basically reduce acid production. If you take one a day, I saw a statistic somewhere between it reduces your acid 65% to 70%. So you still have a little bit of acid, but spoiler alert, you actually need acid to digest your food. So we're going to probably go into that topic of why being on these medications for a long term can actually not be such a good thing for you. So yeah. So what are your thoughts on this proton pump inhibitors?
Proton pump inhibitors are consistently among the top 100 prescribed medications in the United States. And interestingly, you can buy most of them over the counter. So that means that there are millions of other people that are taking them that don't even have a prescription. So these are some of the most commonly used medications in America and really throughout the world. They're pretty inexpensive. Most of them are available in generic now. And so because they're available over the counter, though, they're so accessible, people just assume that they're safe. Now, if you were to buy a proton pump inhibitor over the counter, the box is going to say that you shouldn't take it beyond 14 days or something like that. But nobody's going to stop you from buying it again 2 weeks later. And we don't have a lot of obvious side effects from proton pump inhibitors. Maybe we have a little bit of constipation. Maybe we have a little bit of changes in the way that we digest, which we would expect. But people don't really think about it being dangerous because they don't notice anything really right away. They don't have any immediate problems. But like you said, we actually need acid in our stomach. We need that to digest our food. And so when we reduce acid like that, it leads to other long-term problems, even if it doesn't lead to an immediate, obvious problem right now. And so when I talk to people about proton pump inhibitors in my business, a lot of times it's about the long-term issues because we don't have those like right now. They don't notice anything right now. They feel better. Takes a couple of days, right. They feel better. And they're like, I feel better. My acid reflux is gone. I don't see any reason to stop taking it. I'm not having any side effects. So they can stay on it forever.
Yeah.
And then years down the road, they start having problems.
Yeah. It's that, like everything else, that instant gratification, because they do get relief fairly quickly. And they're like, oh, I don't want to go back to the way I felt before. But what they're not realizing is that just like if you take something synthetically, you kind of shut your body down. Eventually your body forgets, like, I'm supposed to produce acid. And so when you go off of them, then people have issues. So they think, oh, I need to go right back on it because I'm starting to have that feeling again. And that's where I was curious. I haven't read a box of any of, you know, the over-the-counters in a while. I was like, do they even still say like not for long-term use? Not that anyone probably reads that, or if they do, they're like, eh.
They do still. They say that you shouldn't take it for more than 14 days. That's really true for any over-the-counter medication. If you have to take something over-the-counter for more than 2 weeks, then you need to go to the doctor and find out what's going on. But I don't really think that they ever should have been made available over the counter. That's just my opinion. And I'll tell you why. Proton pump inhibitors are FDA approved for moderate to severe acid reflux or acid reflux that is lasting a long time, not for occasional acid reflux or indigestion, because they don't work that fast. If you need something like if you eat spicy food every Tuesday because you go do Taco Tuesday, you need something on Tuesday. You don't need something, you know, Sunday through Saturday. So we've sort of gotten in this, well, I can just take this every day and then I don't have this problem. But it creates long-term issues. And if you take a proton pump inhibitor on Tuesday when you have your spicy food, it's not going to work on Tuesday. It takes about 3 days for us to get to maximum benefit with that. And if you're only supposed to take it for 14 days, I don't know. It just, it never really set well with me for that to have gone over the counter, because there's not an opportunity to really educate people about the fact that it's not going to work right now. It's going to take a couple of days for it to work. And then you need to stop taking it after 14 days and go to your doctor. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. So if you're having that just Taco Tuesday and you just need something for that day, it's like, have your Tums with you, like have that immediate, have that, you know, quick acting. But yeah. And I think that's the problem, is that people think it's over the counter, so it's safe.
Right.
So it's just like, oh, it's not, it's over the counter now. It must be, it's just safe. I don't have to get the prescription from my doctor anymore. So obviously it's not a big deal. I can just use it whenever. But it's very interesting when you see some of the long-term effects, you know, you don't absorb certain things like calcium, right? And look at all these people that are having, you know, their doctor tell them you need to take calcium, your bone density is down. And, you know, you're breaking bones, you're fracturing things, whatever it is. And it's like, well, you need acid to absorb certain vitamins and minerals.
Right.
So it's that same idea, you know, that you're just nutrient deficient, you know, B12, magnesium. There's so many different things that are your immune system, your muscle, like if you're able to sleep or not, like magnesium is a huge deficiency for so many people. And then you're exacerbating it by taking this medication, for instance.
Right. And if you're taking it over the counter and your doctor doesn't know you're taking it, are they doing routine labs to even see if your levels are low?
Great point.
So if they're not doing any routine labs, then you may not even know that you have osteoporosis or low bone density until you break a bone, because you didn't have any labs to check your calcium, to check your vitamin D, to see how, you know, where you are in terms of absorption of those things and blood levels of those different vitamins and minerals. So if your doctor doesn't know that you're taking it because you're taking it over the counter, they don't know to do those tests. And the reality is that a lot of doctors don't know to do some of those tests anyway. A lot of times they're just routine. Like we do certain labs every year and those are routine. But there are some additional testing that we should be doing if we're on certain medications long term.
Mm-hmm.
And proton pump inhibitors, not only do they increase risk for osteoporosis and fractures, but they increase the risk of other problems too, like dementia, certain types of infections, depression and anxiety. And I know that I'm leaving some other things out because there are so many different, like there's so many long-term issues that we see with proton pump inhibitors. And that doesn't mean that some people shouldn't be on them long-term. For people who have a history of esophageal cancer or Barrett's esophagus, we found that the benefit outweighs the risk, but for everyone else, it doesn't.
Yeah. So yeah, like everything, there's always that small group of people, you know, that, okay, this is, you're kind of, you know, the outlier in this situation. Like you're better off with this versus not having it. But yeah, there's just, it's something that I think, you know, especially you bring up a great point of if your doctor doesn't know you're taking this and they're not, you know, checking things for you that they would normally do for people that they know are on these medications, you know, maybe they would make, hey, okay, great that you're on this, but make sure that you're not taking it longer than, you know, depending on what the issue is, like if you have ulcers or different things, they might say, okay, 6 weeks, take it, 12 weeks maximum, and then you got to get off of it. But sometimes I wonder too, and again, not knocking doctors, but sometimes I don't know if doctors fully understand the risks. I'm sure some of the specialists do, you know, some of the GI doctors are a little more well-versed with these medications. But if you're just going to like a general practitioner, they may not even be aware of some of these risks. So, you know, that's why we're doing this podcast, because we're both very passionate about, you know, educating on medications and maybe things that you don't even think to ask your pharmacist, or your pharmacist doesn't have the time in between all the other things they're doing
right
to bring these up. So
Yeah. So I always talk to people whenever I dispense a proton pump inhibitor about the best way to take the medication, how to get the most out of their medication. And I am never going to discourage someone from taking something that their doctor prescribed to them for, you know, an appropriate diagnosis. But I am going to be, I'm going to be very honest that the recommendation is that we do this short term, make sure that you're following up with your doctor about this and make sure that you're taking a good multivitamin, that you're supplementing with calcium and vitamin D, that you're doing a B12. I am, anytime I talk to anybody that's on proton pump inhibitor, you mentioned B12 deficiency. The way that B12 is absorbed in our GI tract, it's in just one place that it's absorbed. A lot of these nutrients are absorbed throughout our GI tract, but B12 is only kind of absorbed in one way. And when we hinder that, there's only a couple of ways that we can bypass that. We can either do B12 shots or we can do B12 sublingually. So if I have a patient who's on a proton pump inhibitor, I don't even tell them to take B12 orally. I tell them to take a sublingual tablet or a sublingual drop. They get good absorption in their mouth, immediately under their tongue. It goes into their bloodstream. It bypasses the whole GI tract altogether. I know some people that they think that they're doing really well by, well, I'm taking a B12 tablet too, but you still have such diminished absorption that you're not getting what you need with those proton pump inhibitors a lot of times. Because our GI tract is supposed to be acidic. It's supposed to be. So the problem with acid reflux is not that there's too much acid. It's that it's in the wrong place. Acid's supposed to be in our stomach. It's not supposed to be in our esophagus. So the real issue is that we're getting that acid that's washing up into our esophagus because we have some change in sphincter tone or muscle tone there that is causing that to happen, which can be caused by a lot of different things, but it's not caused by too much acid. And so we reduce acid to the point that now we have trouble digesting our food, extracting the essential nutrients from our food, essential nutrients that feed our brain, that feed our bones, that feed all these other parts of our body. And so we start in the long term, start having these side effects that we may not have, we don't have right away. And I'll tell you another thing. We talked about proton pump inhibitors being available over the counter. One of the most common things that I see in practice is that if somebody goes to the hospital, if you are in the hospital for 2 or 3 days, they're going to put you on a proton pump inhibitor. It's going to happen because there are studies that show that you have an increased risk of developing a stomach ulcer if you're in the hospital, if you're sick, if you're stressed. So every hospital in America is going to put you on a proton pump inhibitor if you're hospitalized. And then when you go home, they should stop that proton pump inhibitor. But 90% of the time, they don't. They keep you on it. And you did not have acid reflux before. But what happens is they put you on that proton pump inhibitor in the hospital. You go home, you get it filled. You're like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to keep taking this. I don't really know why, but they gave it to me in the hospital. So it's cool. I'll keep taking it. And then at some point, when you start feeling better, you're like, I don't know why I'm on this. Yeah. I don't really think I had an acid reflux problem, but I think I'm going to stop. So you stop it and you have become physically dependent on it. And now your body doesn't know how to suppress acid naturally because you have been using this medication to chemically alter that process. So now you stop it and your body makes more acid than it was making ever before. So you never even had acid reflux and now you do. Because we put you on it to prevent a stomach ulcer in the hospital and we forgot to stop it. And so that it's called rebound reflux. And rebound reflux can occur after just 2 to 3 weeks of taking a proton pump inhibitor. So it happens really, really quickly. And that rebound is actually a type of withdrawal, medication withdrawal. We don't call it that. That's a term that people don't like. Yeah. That has negative connotations, but that's really what it is. And so when people get off of a proton pump inhibitor, they really need to go through a taper schedule just like they would if they were getting off of an opioid or benzodiazepine. They're not addictive, but they do cause that physical dependence.
Yeah, because your body, I didn't realize it even happened that quickly, like 2 to 3 weeks. And I was going to make a joke about the hospital. Probably it's the food that they put them on. They just figured it out. But no, and it's so interesting you said that because I used to always see heart patients, you know, when they leave the hospital, if they've had a heart attack, you know that they have like a cholesterol med. And I'm like, why are they always on a PPI? I don't understand. I'm like, why? And so I didn't realize that actually it was something that they required in the hospital. I just thought, oh, wow, that's interesting. Do they think it's heartburn? And then that, what is the connection there? So, hey, I just learned something very interesting. Yeah. And another thing too is sometimes because of you're changing that environment, you're going to get, like you mentioned it earlier, you're going to get information and bacteria that you wouldn't usually get in your stomach and your GI tract. It's like, wait a second, how did that even grow there? Because you're changing the environment of that, wherever it is in your body, that organ system. And it's just, I don't know. There's upsides to this medication for a very, very, very short period of time.
Yeah.
But if you go beyond that, like that 2 weeks, like don't 10 days at most, like don't even go with the 2 weeks, go on the other side of it, like 10 days, get off of it, have Tums or something just in case you have a little something come up with something that you ate. But also, this is another opportunity. Like, do we need to look at lifestyle and how we're eating? Maybe we need to make some changes in the, you know, the foods that we're eating for maybe at least a period of time to see if that, you know, we're not getting to the root cause of why is something happening. And it could be, you know, you said there's a lot of reasons why you have that structural change where maybe the acid comes up. It could be something as simple as you're already magnesium deficient as it is, and that tenses up all the muscles in your body. And then you're taking a drug that makes you even more deficient. So there's just, it's something that a podcast I was listening to the other day was talking about that. It was, you know, most dis-ease is just it starts with a simple deficiency of nutrition, which is makes sense to us, but it's amazing what those things long-term can do. So it's just, I don't know. It just blows my mind sometimes it escalates, right? It escalates before you even know what hit you. And it's just like, okay, we gotta look at, okay, what was actually causing the problem to begin with?
Subscribe to our podcast for weekly episodes where we'll bring you unfiltered and unbiased information about all things health, from debunking common myths and misconceptions to sharing insider knowledge on pharmaceuticals and the most innovative nutraceuticals and alternative therapies on the planet. We've got you covered.
And a lot of times with acid reflux, I mean, being overweight, mm-hmm. carrying more weight around the middle, having a hiatal hernia, different things that we eat, alcohol, caffeine, carbonated drinks, these are all things that can contribute to acid reflux. Eating too close to bedtime. People ask me on my TikTok live sometimes, they'll say, what do you think about intermittent fasting? And I'll say, I was doing intermittent fasting before it was cool because I have acid reflux. And so I don't eat after 5 o'clock. So I didn't know that it had a name at the time. It was just like, I don't need to eat within 4 hours of going to bed. I need my stomach to have emptied so that when I lay down, I don't have that refluxate into my esophagus. So I don't eat within several hours of going to bed. After I eat, then I have water and that's it. Now, if you have too much water, water can even cause reflux. If you have things aren't moving through fast enough. So there are a lot of different things that we can do, though, to help decrease those symptoms. Preparing, if we're going to eat something spicy, having Tums or even a Pepcid every once in a while is fine. Limiting those trigger foods, keeping a food diary so we can identify what our trigger foods are and then be prepared. Raising the head of your bed if you still have reflux after you stop eating, you know, several hours before bed. Not wearing really constrictive. But is that the right word? Constrictive.
Hey, constrictive.
Constrictive clothes that are like really tight around your chest. So there are a lot of like lifestyle things that we can do to try to reduce the reflux. Reflux is really common in pregnancy. And it was funny, when I was pregnant, I had reflux really bad. And I met a friend one day for lunch. And we went to a Mexican restaurant. And obviously, I already talked about eating Mexican food. And she's like, oh, I didn't even think about you being pregnant. And you probably don't need to eat spicy food. I'm like, it doesn't matter. When you're pregnant, you have acid reflux all the time. And so sometimes there ain't anything you can do about it. Sometimes it's just going to happen.
But I just think it's important for people to realize that there are, you know, that there are risks and that the medications aren't really recommended long term. These proton pump inhibitors aren't. For some people, it is appropriate if they have Barrett's esophagus, if they have, like I said, if they have a history of esophageal cancer, it may be appropriate to be on those long term. But for most people, for acid reflux, it's not. And even the guidelines say that your doctor should be having a conversation with you once a year about getting off of a proton pump inhibitor. And then I visit with people who are like, my doctor's never talked to me about it at all. And the truth is that physicians are trained to prescribe. They aren't really trained to deprescribe. And so it's just not often part of that dialogue that physicians and patients have. Whereas with pharmacists and patients, one of the first things that we do is we identify medication-related problems. And so one of the first things that I do is say, well, what medications can we stop? Is this a medication-related problem? Is the medication what's making you sick? So it's a very different way of looking at things.
Yeah, and it's very beneficial because I know my dad was on PPI for a while, and I think he was even taking it twice a day for a while. And so he was making no acid. And now I see some of the challenges that he has. And I think my mind instantly goes to, is that because he was on, you know, his Protonix for I don't even know how many years. And now he's not taking it, you know, but still he's taking, you know, Pepcid or something like that. So it's just, it's looking at the long-term ramifications. And, you know, I think it's very easy to look, hey, I'm feeling better right now. But what are we looking at long-term with what you're doing? You know, we need to think forward. And I think that's maybe as a society in general, like we're looking for that quick fix when it, you know, comes to so many health issues. I'm like, okay, so you're doing that and that's fine. Like we'll give you this medication. And maybe that'd be a great conversation. Like some doctors, like I'll give you this medication for 3 months tops, depending on what it is, or 3 weeks or whatever. But after that, you got to make some changes in your life. But those conversations don't happen because like you said, they're programmed to prescribe, they're paid to prescribe, and they want to keep people coming back for more. I mean, we were talking about that in a previous episode, but it translates over to, well, why wouldn't my doctor tell me this? It's like, sorry.
I don't even think in a lot of cases, though, it's intentional. Like, I don't think that most doctors, now, definitely there are some that are really involved in fraudulent practices, but I think most doctors aren't intentionally saying, I'm going to put Rachel on this product because it's going to make her sicker and she's going to have to come back more. I don't think that most doctors are doing that. Now, I know a lot of doctors are only prescribing 3 months at a time and making you come back every 3 months so that they can bill you for more. I know that happens. I see that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that a lot of doctors are being intentional with harm. I mean, they take that oath to do no harm, but I think that it is so ingrained in them that this is what we do every time that they don't really think about why are we doing this?
Yeah. Maybe, and I think that's absolutely true. The majority of them, exactly. They just get in the habit. They look at your chart and they're like, oh, you're on this, this, and this, and they don't think about it. They don't have time to think about it.
That's true. And I think with us, though, our training was more and we were also very much indoctrinated with pharmaceuticals because we're pharmacists, but also to look for those medication related problems and say, OK, instead of what can we add to, what can we take away? Yep. And for me personally, and I'll share my story on another episode. I mean, I found myself in that situation where I'm so busy with life, I don't have time to make the lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. So I'll just take a pill for that. And then I'll take a pill for this other thing. And then I'll take a pill for the side effect from that medicine until I ended up in a situation where I was taking 14 different pills a day at 38 years old and with no obvious chronic health issues. Like, no, I didn't have diabetes. I didn't have hypertension, I have hypothyroidism, and then a bunch of stuff that goes along with that. But that was my only major diagnosis. And I was on 14 pills because this pill caused a side effect and then this pill caused a side effect. And we treated that with another pill because I was at a place in my life where I didn't have time to make lifestyle changes. I didn't have time to get to the root cause. I needed a fast solution so I could move on with my life. And I think that's where most people are. Mm-hmm. And until until you have that aha moment that, wait, I don't want to be on all this medication. I don't want the side effects of this medication. There are long-term problems associated with this. I need to stop worrying about the right now and start thinking about the 20 years from now. And that's where I was. Like, I want to be physically and mentally healthy to do things with my children and then my grandchildren one day. And taking all that medication was not, it wasn't going to improve the quality of my life or the longevity. Mm-hmm. And that's what we really get to with things like these proton pump inhibitors, is we see an increased risk of dementia. And there are some studies that say that's real. There's some studies that say it's not real. There's some studies that indicate that it's a direct cause and some that say it's indirect because of decreased absorption of essential nutrients like the magnesium. The truth is, we don't know exactly the mechanism that proton pump inhibitors contribute to dementia, but we know that people who are on proton pump inhibitors long term have an increased risk of developing dementia. Mm-hmm. So if you're on a proton pump inhibitor to prevent esophageal cancer, then you're on it to improve longevity, to keep you alive longer. So the benefit in that case outweighs the risk. But if you're on it because you get acid reflux on Taco Tuesday, then do you really want to put yourself at risk for dementia when you could take some Tums? Most people just aren't even aware that there's a risk.
On the surface, it seems like such a safe medication because you think, oh, well, having acid coming up can't be good for me. So if this can stop that, that must be, you know, that's a good thing. And so that's why we're here, because we're hoping we shine the light on something that you didn't know before. And, you know, if you're scratching your head listening to this and you're thinking, I don't know if I believe them or not, I definitely say go look it up for yourself. Like, just type in, you know, side effects or risks of proton pump inhibitors and just see what comes up, or just type in proton pump inhibitors or Prevacid or whatever, and you'll be amazed at what you find. You know, find a medical source. And we're actually, that leads in perfectly. We're going to do a newsletter for you guys every week. So definitely, if you haven't signed up for that, there'll be a link attached to this podcast where you can click on it, sign up for our newsletter. But we're going to share some with, you know, each episode that we do, we're going to share with you links of where we found some of our information. So, you know, you can click on the links directly that we use as well. So there's a couple of different ways, because we want you to listen to our podcast and take something from it. But then if you're still, you know, I'm just not sure that's real, they could be telling me anything. Like, I want to instill in you. So I want you to use that same mindset too when you go to the doctor's office. Like, can you share with me why you're doing this? Like, ask questions, be more questioning when you get a recommendation or a diagnosis or something. Like, this is your body, this is your life. So it's nothing to mess around with. So that I think we're hoping to, as well as educating you, I hope we're empowering you and entertaining Absolutely. You. And all the things too. So do you have anything else to add?
No, I was just going to reiterate what you said. Advocate for yourself. Ask the questions. I can't tell you how many times I've had family members or friends who go to the doctor and they come home with a medication and then they call me and they say, what's this for? And I'm like, didn't you talk to your doctor about that? Well, no, we talked about this and this and this. But, you know, if your doctor says something that doesn't make sense or that you don't understand, just ask the question. And it's okay. That is you advocating for yourself. So always be willing to ask why, to ask what's this for? What are the risks? How long am I going to be on this? What should I expect from this? These are questions that your doctor should be prepared to answer if he or she's writing you a prescription for something. Your pharmacist should be able to answer some of those questions as well. Now, there are medications that are used for lots of different things. So if you were to ask your pharmacist, what's this medication for? Your pharmacist is probably going to say, what'd your doctor tell you it was for? Because the doctor might be writing it for something what we call off-label. We'll talk about off-label drugs in another episode. But your pharmacist can answer questions for you about medications as well. So we want you to have a good relationship with your physician. We want you to have a good relationship with your pharmacists and your medical team, all of your people. You ought to be able to have an honest and open conversation with them, because they can't really treat you effectively if you can't communicate back and forth.
Yeah. an active participant in your health and your life, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, thank you all for tuning in to the episode 5 of the Uncensored Pharmacist podcast. We look forward to the next episode. So we will talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Subscribe to our newsletter and join our community. We are dedicated to empowering individuals with the most up-to-date information on healthcare, wellness, and patient advocacy.
Plus, as part of our community, you'll have access to exclusive content, expert Q&A sessions, and special promotions.
Ready to take charge of your health? Join the movement for a healthier, more informed you by following us on social media. We're here to give you the raw, uncut truth on healthcare and wellness, and we can't wait to have you join us on our journey. Tune in, subscribe, and let's start revolutionizing the way we think about health together.
See you next week for another episode of The Uncensored Pharmacist. Until then, stay healthy, informed, and uncensored.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.